And there are a number of protests planned today against stay-at-home orders after demonstrations in a number of states over the weekend.
President Trump was asked about the protests yesterday. He said that some governors have gone too far in their restrictions on economic activity, and he has called to liberate a number of states on Twitter. Joining us now is Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
When we mentioned the protests, there were some in your state on Friday. What would you say to people who feel that these stay-at-home restrictions have gone too far?
Well, first of all, they have to understand that this is really about life and death, and that this virus, which has so far infected probably no more than 5% of the U.S. population, over the course of the next 12 to 18 months will likely infect more than 50 or 60% of the population. And with that, we're going to see a substantial increase in the number of serious illnesses and deaths. And we're all trying to work out how do we thread the rope through the needle so that we don't shut down our economy in a way that has happened. But at the same time, we don't let this virus run willy-nilly in our communities and cause what will be many, many thousands of deaths and serious illnesses. And so I think it really should be about us versus the virus, not about some political economic issues that are surely valid, very valid. I don't want to minimize them, but at the same time, we've got to figure out how to get through this. And just merely opening up doesn't answer the question of how do we get through it. At the same time, we just can't keep doing what we've been doing. And so this is where we really need right now for this, the kind of creative solutions that say this is the best we can do given this horrible situation we've been handed.
Well, and is the creative solution that you're talking about, or at least part of it, just a lot more testing? There's a new study from Harvard that estimates that we need to triple the amount of testing that is being done before safely reopening the economy. Right now, the U.S. is doing 150,000 tests a day. There have been fewer than 4 million tests in total, despite President Trump's promise that 27 million will be done by the end of March. What is taking so long, and what needs to happen on the testing front?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the whole testing issue, I think, has been poorly understood by a lot of people, including those making national recommendations. You know, saying that you're going to test your way out of this situation right now is just not possible. And the reason for that is that when this entire outbreak situation first emerged in China, the need for testing was surely there in China and Asia. And the demand for what we call reagents or the chemicals to make these tests could be met there. But once this virus spread around the world and the whole world became a COVID fire, we need now to test literally billions of people. And the resources for making these reagents, the chemicals that run the test, is just not there. That's a situation where you have to build new facilities to make these reagents. That doesn't happen overnight. Frankly, it hasn't been a coordinated effort to make it happen at all. I predicted weeks ago that we'd be in this situation with what we know for the testing for the virus itself, this PCR test, and we're going to be there soon with the testing reagents for the serology or the antibody. So in the short term, we have to come up with other ways that our testing itself is not going to be the key. We do need testing. We need to know if we're seeing case numbers increase in our communities. But this idea of doing all this extra testing is just not a reality.
So what are the other ways, then, that you're talking about?
Well, at this point, then, what we have to do is we have to look at things like syndromic surveillance, a type of work that we do in public health all the time, looking for other comparable illnesses like influenza-like illness. We have to be monitoring very closely who is going into doctor's offices, who is being hospitalized. And when we have a sense of the cases picking up in that first instance, then we have to basically hit the accelerator to slow it down. On the other hand, we will also, if we're seeing that transmission has been limited in a community, then we can ease off and let people get back in. We need to look at what's our healthcare capacity. If we're in our communities in a hospital setting where it's full right now, we don't have more capacity. That has to weigh in.
But to do what you're talking about, where you would identify hotspots, basically, and slow things down where you see them, wouldn't that require the United States to basically stop domestic travel and not allow people to move from one place to another?
You know, all of this has to be on the table. I think what we're looking at right now is kind of a solution for the next few weeks, and that is important. But we've got to look at a solution for the next 12 to 18 months. A solution, in part, would be releasing some back into the workforce who are younger, who are otherwise healthy, who won't have nearly the same risk, not forcing them to go back in, but if they want to, they should likely have the opportunity. We need creative solutions like this, where we take the best of what we can do in public health, reduce serious illness, and at the same time, maintain society as we know it.
Let me ask you one more question, because one solution that many people have been looking to is about these antibody tests, that which could show people if they've had it, if they've built up some immunity to it. Do you think that that's promising as a way to get some people to feel that they can go back into the workforce because they've already had the virus?
In an ideal world, the antibody test would be a great thing. But let's hit, again, the reality button. Number one is that the challenges of having enough antibody tests are the same we're seeing with the virus detection test, the PCR. We have reagents today, but within 3 to 4 weeks, globally, we'll exhaust the reagents we need for serology. Number two is many of the tests that are currently on the market are nothing short of junk. That was exactly how the FDA described it. We've had virtually no oversight of these test methods. Number three, when you test using these kind of tests in what we call a low prevalence community, like 5% that I mentioned before might be infected. If you understood that half of all the positives you find will actually be false positives, meaning that half will have, in fact, have antibody, but half won't, but we're going to tell them they do. And if you're now trying to be protected, you're trying to get back into society and feel like I'm okay, would you accept the fact that one out of every two people that you test positive is not really positive? So, again, this is not an easy answer, an easy solution. I understand why people are basically grabbing for these kind of solutions, but we just have to face reality that antibody testing as we now have it is not going to be a magic bullet.
That is Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Osterholm, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.